proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I'm your host, Aaron Broughton, and with me in studio, we have the privilege of having Brother Alan Lord with us today. How are you doing, Brother Alan?
Doing fine. Thanks, Aaron, for having me.
Well, welcome to the program, and it's a delight to have you here. Brother Alan is the director of the Global Outreach Ministry that we have here at IBJM. And also another thing that he is involved in is in a program we have for estate planning. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and maybe the importance about it as well?
It behooves each one of us as Christians to think about stewardship of the resources that God has put into our hands. Everything that we own, everything belongs to God. I know we talk about the tithe, we talk about giving to missions, but actually everything that we own, including the clothes on our back, belongs to God. One of the problems that a lot of Christians have, and I shouldn't say it like that, what a lot of us have, period, is that we don't make a plan. We're not planning for what's going to happen when God takes us home. We think we're going to live forever, and that's, you know, I mean, hey, we are going to live forever in one sense. We're going to be in heaven. You know, once the Lord takes us home, okay, we still have our local church. It needs to continue functioning. We still have missions boards and other charitable organizations that are going to keep going. And if we don't make plans, and in other words, that's, for example, let me just take myself personally. I am involved in missions. I do give to missions. I do give to my local church. And if the Lord were to take me home, for example, tomorrow or today, that's going to leave a hole kind of in my church, in our missions program. And so I need to make plans somewhere in my estate, either through a bequest or through a trust. I need to have a part that's going to go to my local church and also to my favorite charity. So this is what estate planning is. And this is what IBJM, what I do, is I can help you out there if you're not familiar with what a bequest is or a simple will. I have material that can show how, for example, you can give to your family. You can leave some of your inheritance to your family. You can also leave to your local church. And basically, even in some of the tools that we have in estate planning, you can actually save quite a bit of money on taxes as well. It depends on where you are and what your situation in life is, what your estate is. So there's a lot involved in it. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a trust management lawyer. I can't give you all the deeper laws, but I can give you some initial steps that will help you in your estate planning. And so if you would contact me, you can send me an email. And by the way, anything, if you're out there and you would like to know anything about your own personal estate, everything that you give to me, whether it be on a telephone call or whether it be with an email, is strictly confidential. The confidential between me and you, and not even really privy to the mission of IBJM. This is strictly a service that IBJM provides to you, and I'm the go-to person that would be able to help you on that. So you can email me, alord@ibjm.org, or telephone me directly at 423-876-8150, and I'd be glad to talk to you and discuss it with you.
Okay, well, definitely a timely subject for these days. So thank you, Brother Alan, for coming in today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, until next time, let's now turn our attention to our teacher and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman, with today's Bible lesson.
Welcome back to another session of our radio Bible studies. Our examination of the book of Revelation will continue by looking at the events described in the 8th and 9th chapters of that book. Revelation chapter 8 began with the opening of the seventh seal. Silence prevailed in heaven for a period of 1/2 hour. This lack of noise might result from those in heaven reflecting upon the coming divine judgments. John had already portrayed the heaven as a place characterized by those who constantly praised and worshiped God. Therefore, an extended period of quiet in heaven would underscore the serious nature of the events which would soon transpire. Seven angels stood before God. They received seven trumpets. According to the Old Testament, one of the reasons that trumpets functioned was as a sound involving a call to action. Thus, the trumpets of Revelation chapter 8 could have served as a rallying cry. Another angel carried a golden censer, filled with incense, depicting the prayers of the saints. The smoke of that burning incense wafted up before God. Perhaps the golden censer with incense carried the same symbolism as the golden altar and incense associated with the tabernacle did. The tabernacle, as mentioned, that is, in the 39th chapter of the book of Exodus. When the angel cast the golden censer to earth, John heard, quote, voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, unquote. By that deed, the angel might have symbolically indicated that God would soon respond to the prayers of his people on earth by sending judgments upon their persecutors. After the first four angels blew their trumpets, a number of catastrophes took place on earth. John carefully detailed the nature of these catastrophes. The first angel sounded a trumpet. When he did, hail and fire mingled with blood burnt a third part of the trees and green grass on the earth. Perhaps the hail and the fire partook of a crimson color, or the effect of this disaster turned the trees and the grass into a reddish hue. A second angel followed with a trumpet blast. A great burning mountain fell into the sea. One-third of the waters turned to blood. The ensuing cataclysm destroyed one-third of the life existing in the seas, and one-third of the ships that plowed the waters over them. This phenomenon bore some resemblance to the first plague that God sent upon Egypt, as described in Exodus chapter 7. Quote, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. Unquote. Moses went on to say, quote, and the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall be loath to drink of the water of the river. Unquote. When the third angel sounded the trumpet, a great star fell from heaven. It burnt as a lamp burnt. This star fell upon the rivers and the waters. It bore the name wormwood, another title for the plant otherwise known as absinthe. When the star named wormwood struck the earth, one-third of the remaining waters became bitter. In the wilderness of Marah, as recorded in Exodus chapter 15, God used Moses to turn bitter waters into sweet waters. In the 8th chapter of Revelation, however, God did the reverse, turning drinkable water into undrinkable water. After the fourth angel blew his trumpet, the sun, moon, and stars became darkened. Isaiah spoke about this in the 9th chapter of his book, quote, though the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire, no man shall spare his brother, unquote. The prophet Joel also addressed this phenomenon in the 2nd chapter of his book, quote, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, unquote. Another angel flew through the sky. This being cried out, quote, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound, unquote. The effects of those coming judgments will appear in the next part of the book of Revelation. Note that, up to this point, only one-third of creation and one-third of the human race have suffered. God might have done this as a means of motivating the survivors to repent of their sins, while they still could. If so, God's warnings went unheeded. The inhabitants of earth continued to blaspheme God and practice evil. Therefore, God had further judgments to send to them. In this next chapter, we'll look at the resulting calamities that befell those living on earth. As Revelation chapter 9 commenced, John beheld a fifth angel blowing a trumpet. The first of three woes took place on that occasion. A figure fell from heaven who received the key to the bottomless pit. Some commentators have speculated that this figure actually referred to the devil. However, the 20th chapter of Revelation, they noted that there was an angel in possession of this key, an angel who bound the devil and cast him into the bottomless pit. Such a circumstance makes it unlikely that the angel in Revelation chapter 9 referred to the devil. Smoke came forth when this angel opened the pit. Smoke can depict God's forthcoming judgment. As Isaiah wrote in the 14th chapter of his book, quote, "Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou, whole Palestina, art dissolved. For there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times," unquote. Certainly, those beings that issued forth with the smoke from the bottomless pit served as the instruments of God's judgments upon those who dwelt on the earth. Out of the smoke from the bottomless pit, locusts emerged to torment those who did not have God's seal on their foreheads. Quote, "To them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man," unquote. According to Revelation chapter 9, these locusts would afflict the human race for a 5-month period. While regular locusts can destroy entire crops, they usually prove directly harmless to humans. In this context, though, God forbade the locusts from harming any grass, tree, or green thing, and instead allowed them to afflict human beings. John's narrative in Revelation 9 continued as follows, quote, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them," unquote. Sometimes physical death can serve as a release from pain and suffering. Yet God will not allow those on earth to experience such relief. John described the locusts in the following terms, quote, "The shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions," unquote. Commentators have speculated as to whether John's words carried any greater import than being merely a physical description of those beings. Note, however, that the appearance of those locusts did retain both human and animal characteristics. These locusts wore breastplates consisting of fire, jacinth, and brimstone. They had tails like scorpions. Their wings made a sound similar to those given forth by chariots and by horses entering the battle. No doubt the armaments and tactics of these locusts helped strike fear into the hearts of their adversaries. The king of the locusts bore the name Abaddon or Apollyon. Both names meant destroyer in the Hebrew and Greek languages, respectively. The context of Revelation chapter 9 implied that these beings were demonic entities, not ordinary locusts. This destroyer might be the same entity that Paul wrote about in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, when he warned the church at Corinth, quote, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them," referring to the Israelites, "as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer," unquote. At the sound of the sixth trumpet, God commanded the release of 4 angels bound in the Euphrates River, 4 angels which would kill 1/3 of the human race. 200 million horsemen would accompany them. Their location and preparation for warfare implied that God had previously placed these forces in a position to work out his determined counsel. These soldiers had power in their mouths, which emitted brimstone. They also had power in their tails, which delivered poisonous stings. Despite the widespread slaughter, though, the survivors on earth continued to refuse to repent of their idolatrous worship or to turn away from their sins. They would soon drink their fill from the cup of God's wrath, unmingled with his mercy. We've come to the end of another radio broadcast. Thank you for listening. Please join us for future radio programs about the Book of Revelation.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.